Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Words of the Wise podcast, hosted by me, Lexi Maynard. Our mission is to capture the words and wisdom of the world's elderly so that their story and legacy may last forever. Like what we're about? Then be sure to subscribe to receive instant updates on new episodes. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Words of the Wise Podcast, or on Twitter at Words of W Podcast as well. Joining us today for episode number 28, we have Opaly and Dorothy LaGrange. Considering I was in Florida at the time this interview was conducted, please ignore the echo of the bathroom walls and instead focus in on the admirable couple in their farmhouse. Without further ado, here are Opaly and Dorothy, episode number 28.
Hi, Lexi. I'm Opaly LaGrange. I'm 95 tomorrow.
So, Opaly, where did you grow up?
St. Croix, Indiana, southern Indiana.
And what did the typical day in your childhood look like?
Well, a lot of the time, me and two brothers and another neighbor boy played baseball up on the school ground. We live next to a school. So we did our playing up on the school ground most of the time. That was a typical day.
Just playing baseball.
Yeah. And so you just named some of your siblings. What order did you fall in your siblings?
Third.
Third? Okay.
Third of nine. Third of nine.
Oh, wow. So a big family.
Big family.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I hear that your parents owned a general store.
Well, they built this store and waited for me to be born before they opened for business. So that was 95 years ago.
95 years ago. Goodness.
Wow. So I'm assuming that you helped out a lot in the general store when you were a kid?
Yes. When I was 9 years old, I run the store. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Big time, wow.
Normally, my mom was there all the time, but this one summer when I was 9 years old, we moved to a house about a quarter of a mile from the store. Mom stayed out there because she was pregnant with one of my brothers. Well, anyway, I took care of the store.
Mm-hmm.
Dad was, he usually worked out somewhere. He had a rock quarry that he provided the St. Margaret Abbey with crushed rock.
Oh, I didn't realize that. So what was, sorry, Lexi, you know I'm probably going to jump in here. So what did your dad do there?
Well, he owned it.
Oh.
He was and he had guys, people working for him. He had a big truck and he had to haul rock to St. Margaret. And he usually had a driver hired to drive the truck. And then somebody would go along with them. It wasn't a dump truck. They had to shovel the rock off of it.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy.
Can you imagine? Lexi, real fast. St. Mindred is a monastery down here.
Oh, okay.
Lots of the Catholic priests, I don't know if they stay in Indiana once they graduate from there or not, but gorgeous, gorgeous place not far from here.
For the Indianapolis Archdiocese.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I hear that you really enjoy hunting, fishing, trapping. You kind of have your entire life.
Was that the question?
Yeah. And it's like, when did you start enjoying fishing? And do you have any memories from when you were a child of fishing, hunting, trapping as a young boy?
Well, when I was probably 12 years old, Dad let me take a rifle and go squirrel hunting. First I can remember hunting. Then we had a coon dog. We would go night hunting. Didn't catch many coons. Never did have a good dog. I can remember the first fish I ever caught.
How old were you?
Probably 6 or 7. We would go down the hill back of the house. It had a creek down there, and we had a swimming hole. And we'd go swimming in there, and the two brothers. And I wanted to fish, so they fixed me up a pole, and I caught my first little bluegill. I can remember that. Why could I remember that?
First fish.
Yeah.
Big deal.
So Katie also told me that your family was very invested and into music. How were you involved in that? Did you play an instrument, or would you sing, or was it just your family around you?
I can't hardly turn on a radio. I have no musical ability. But my brother played a banjo real good. And when he would be practicing, I couldn't keep from trying to jig dance. But as far as musical ability, I didn't have any.
What other family members did you have, though, that would play, that played instruments and stuff?
Dad would play a harmonica with Russell on the banjo. They made pretty good music. Clyde was double cousin. You know what a double cousin is? Our mothers were sisters and our fathers were brothers. Anybody they were related to, we were related to in marriage.
That's funny.
So Clyde was the first musician. Well, really, my grandpa Louis J. was the first musician. He played a fiddle left-handed. Clyde would play with him a lot of times.
What did Clyde play, did you say?
Guitar.
Okay.
Yeah. I bet the family gatherings were fun then, with all that music probably playing.
Well, I can remember we always went to Grandpa LaGrange's for New Year's, and my uncle played a fiddle also. So we usually had music on New Year's Day at Grandpa LaGrange's.
And you would try and dance.
Well, I didn't do much dancing there. I was too bashful.
Too bashful.
So did you have a job growing up?
Well, when I was in grade school, I built fires at the school every morning. That was my first job. And then after I got a little bit older, I built fires for the church, Catholic church there in St. Croix. One time I overslept. When I got up there, the priest was building the fire, and he said, "Where in the hell have you been?"
When you were in high school, what did the typical Saturday night look like for you? So how would you spend your Saturday nights once you got the high school age?
I'm trying to figure out how to answer that. Didn't do anything.
Well, did you have dances on Saturday nights or ball games or?
No.
When were the CYO dances? That was when you were out of school. You didn't have those in high school?
No.
Okay.
Interesting.
We just didn't have many social activities when we were in high school. We had a high school out in the country and a pretty wide area where everybody came from, different small towns. We didn't have ball games on Saturday then, and we only had a basketball team the first 2 years I was in high school. And then the World War II came along, and they cut out high school to save gas.
We were just kind of talking about your childhood and your upbringing. So what would you say was the greatest thing that your parents taught you?
Well, my dad was a pacifist, I guess.
Yeah.
He didn't believe in fighting. He'd always say, "You're better off to walk away than to fight." And I remembered that a lot of times. Mm-hmm. One thing I remember, he gave me a lot of good advice.
Taught you to be honest, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Honest, oh, yeah. Man, yeah. Definitely. He was the most honest person I ever met.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a story about him one time? Somebody took his truck. He always kept his keys in his truck. Somebody took it.
Don't think he took the truck, but he did have an old car.
Okay.
Kept keys in.
Yeah.
We lived on a highway, but about halfway between Louisville and Evansville. 62 mm-hmm. was the main mm-hmm. highway. And they went right through St. Croix.
Mm-hmm.
His car was parked out there right along the road all the time. So he had a couple different cars stolen.
Oh, he's left the keys in.
But wouldn't he say, I remember Dad telling the story, he would say, well, they must have needed it more than I did.
Wait, one way to look at it. So I know you started talking about World War II a little bit earlier, but I hear that you were drafted into the Navy for the Second World War. How old were you at that time?
Well, go back just a year. When I was 17, I tried to enlist in the Navy and was called up and went to Evansville to be examined. And I didn't pass the physical. Then I had a spot on my lung, so they didn't take me. My dad sent me to a TB hospital up by Louisville. They said not to worry about it. It was just probably a bad cold.
Really?
Stuff in my lungs. Then when I became 18, I was drafted, passed, right?
Wow, that's crazy.
I've never heard that story.
Yeah.
And so then when you did join the Navy, where were you stationed?
I was sent to Great Lakes Naval Training Center at above Chicago
mm-hmm.
on Lake Michigan
mm-hmm.
for 8 weeks boot camp. We after our leave was over, we went back up there and they sent us on a troop train. And we seemed like we were on that train all night, part of the next day. And we ended up right outside of Norfolk, Virginia,
mm-hmm.
at a naval training station, landing craft, kind of think, you know, the LSTs and
mm-hmm.
all those. It was a training station for that. I can't think of the term to use. So I was stationed right out of Norfolk, Virginia. Figured we were being trained to go to invade Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That toward the fourth year of the war, we figured we were headed out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But due to the experience in a country store, I got to be a storekeeper in the Navy. So I got to stay in the U.S. all the time.
So what was it like being a storekeeper for the Navy?
Well, I was in the commissary department, the department that furnished the food and cooked the food. Mm-hmm. All that
store.
So I was would help unload trucks and so on with groceries, but it was a storekeeper
idle
position.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any bookkeeping you had to do for it, or was it mostly just unloading? And
mostly unloading.
Yeah.
Stacking I can remember stacking cereal, great big cereal boxes of cereal.
Would you say that you have a crazy story or interesting story from your time in the service that stands out to you?
Oh, I can remember one time we were unloading oysters from a truck and we dropped a can of oysters on a concrete floor and we scooped them up, put them back in.
Oh, gross.
Put them back in the can and set them on the... I might have eaten some of them after.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, that's hilarious.
We didn't tell anybody.
What would you say that the service taught you?
I don't know. Taught me to be homesick. I don't know if service taught me anything.
Really?
He got to play, you were on the softball team.
Yeah.
That was a funny story. He was on the softball team, and then tell her how they wanted you to be on the baseball team.
Well, first softball game we had, I played third base and threw a lot of people out. One guy said, you ought to go out for the baseball team. And I went to one practice, and all we did was calisthenics. I got so sore that in boot camp, I was in pretty good physical condition. But after boot camp, we didn't do any calisthenics. Mm-hmm. So I got soft. And I just got so sore that one session, I said, I'm not going to fool with it. So I didn't go out for the baseball. Also, one happening when we were playing softball, I was playing third base, and a big black guy slid into third and hit my knee and broke his leg.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Yeah. Hated it, but it wasn't my fault.
You're protecting your base. Mm-hmm.
So then, when did you return from the Navy?
Well, I went in August of 1944, and I was discharged on July 4th, Independence Day. They got my independence. So I was in there 2 years, lacked 1 month of being 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do for a job when you came back from the Navy?
Well, that's it. Kind of interesting. My oldest brother was in Army Air Force, and he got out before I did because he went in 1942, spent most of his Army time in China. Well, me and my brother did a lot of fishing, a lot of hunting. And my mom was after us all the time to go get a job. We spent 2 years. The government paid us like unemployment. We'd go sign up for our...
It was like a stipend or like from being in the war.
Yeah.
Yeah. How much was it?
$20 a week.
Oh, wow.
$20 then be like a couple hundred dollars now, I guess.
Yeah.
So they didn't need to work.
They didn't.
Yeah. So you did that for 2 years. And then when you finally did get a job, what was that job?
Yeah. My oldest brother finally listened to mom and he got a job. General Electric. A General Electric plant in Tell City, which was in Perry County. And I got a job in Evansville working at a refrigerator factory. And I was on night shift. And on a Monday morning, I was heading back to Evansville on the Greyhound bus. And we pulled into the station at Tell City. And I had another cousin working at GE, met the bus, and I heard him ask the bus driver, said, I want to see if Overly LaGrange is on this bus. Mm-hmm. And he had looked back toward the back of the bus. He said, come here, I want to ask you something. So I got off to talk to him. He said, do you want a job at GE here in Tell City? I said, well, I guess. So I had a friend that was going back to Evansville with me. So I hollered at him and said, I guess I'm going to go to work at GE. I've quit down at Evansville.
Tell her why they wanted you at GE specifically.
Well, the superintendent asked my cousin. There was a guy quit, and the superintendent asked my cousin if he knew of somebody looking for a job that can play basketball. My cousin said, well, I've got a cousin that plays basketball some. That's how I got my job at GE.
Why did he want someone who could play basketball?
We had an industrial team.
Okay.
So GE had a basketball team, and then who would you guys play?
Other
companies.
Other industrial teams, and the Legion had a team, and we went to different towns along the river there. Mm-hmm. And we're heading for Illinois to play.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Came up a big snow, and we turned around and went back. We got as far as Evansville, and we decided it was snowing too much.
Mm-hmm. I don't get a whole lot of snow down here either. Lexi, Evansville's about an hour from Tell City.
Okay. All right. So you ended up working for GE the rest of your career, right?
Yeah.
So obviously you probably were working there for what, over 40 years, I'd say?
36 years I worked.
36. Okay.
I retired when I was 58.
Oh, wow. Pretty young.
I retired early.
Yeah.
I retired as soon as I saw my way clear.
You had more fishing and hunting and trapping to do.
Yeah, seriously.
About a month after I started working at GE, my future wife was working there also.
Really?
And I said, we might as well get married, hadn't we?
It actually goes into my next question. How did you meet your wife, Dorothy?
We had a CYO club in different parishes around. You know what CYO is? So our CYO invited
St. Mark's,
which was close to Tell City, invited them up to strip cane. Do you ever hear of a cane stripping?
No.
They make raised cane to make molasses.
Oh, okay.
So this one family had a cane patch, and they decided that would be a good way to get the cane strip. You have to strip the leaves off, and you
make molasses.
Run the cane through a press and squeeze all the juice out of it.
Oh.
And they take that juice and boil it and make molasses. Anyway, we invited St. Mark's up there. And afterwards, we had a dance. We had a thing to make music.
No, band. Was there a band or was there a, what was it?
No.
Records.
So I've always said I picked the prettiest girl out there and went and danced with her.
Grandma's just chuckling.
One thing led to another. So we've got.
Yeah.
After I got my job, when I asked her, said, we may as well get married. So,
what would you say made you fall in love with her?
I shouldn't say this. St. Croix had a baseball team, and she would go with us to watch the ball game Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And one Sunday, I took her home and told her I was hungry. She went out and caught a chicken, cut its head off,
plucked its feathers,
scalded it and plucked it, cut it up and fried it. I think she'd make a real good wife.
Oh, that's great. When did you get married? What's your wedding day?
November the 25th, 1948.
Wow. So then how many years have you been married?
It'll be 73 this year in November.
Wow. So that's obviously a very long time. What would you say the key to that long, successful marriage has been?
I had an understanding wife. But, she put up with quite a bit. I'm not going to elaborate on that.
So I have a few more questions just for you. So this sounds like concluding questions, but they're really not. But for yours, just by yourself, they are, because next I'm going to talk to Dorothy in a little bit. But as you look back on your entire life, who are the people who have influenced you or impacted you the most?
Well, my dad and mom and my oldest cousin, who was the first grandchild in the LaGrange family. He was a school teacher when he was 18 years old. His dad had died from stomach ulcer. when he was in 30-something, and my oldest cousin had helped making a living, and he went to a teacher's college for 2 years. All I had to go then to become a teacher, and I just always looked up to him and took his advice a lot of times.
What was his name?
Clyde LaGrange.
And do you regret anything from your life?
Yes. If I had it to do over, I would have helped my wife more instead of when my oldest son was in high school, he had to stay and practice, and I would have to wait on him after I got off work, and I'd usually wait on him at the KFC, and I would drink a few beers, play euchre. So I pretty well got in that habit. I didn't go home right away. I would do that different if I had it to do over. I know now that she needed help, and I regret that. But she overlooked it. Not willingly. But
so, okay, before you wrap up with Grandpa Lexi, what is the story? My dad walked in the middle of this, and he slipped me a piece of paper that said the story about crawling out of the woods. What's that about?
I can't think what he's...
What are you talking about, Dad?
When that shotgun misfired and blinded you.
Oh, yeah.
How old were you?
I can't remember if that was before I was married. I think it was. Yeah.
I don't remember. So it's before we were married.
Yeah. I bought an old double barrel shotgun from my uncle, and I shot at a squirrel, and I don't know what it was, but I guess gunpowder came back and hit me in the eyes, and I did have to crawl out of the woods.
Oh, wow.
To get to the car.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
So, Ovaly, what do you believe is the most important thing in life?
My family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I know that Katie told me, and you've just the things that you've mentioned, I can tell that you're a very devoted Catholic. How has your faith impacted the way that you live your life?
It influenced me a lot. I don't know.
You took a vow not to drink because your brother was in that wreck.
So what did you have to ask the priest? You told that story one time where you had to ask the priest something. I can't remember what it was. It was for work. You were like going to be out of town or something.
Yeah.
Oh, he was going fishing.
No, way back there, GE with the supervision, engineers and so on, they'd give us a weekend at French Lick Hotel.
Mm-hmm. I don't
know if you've ever seen on that.
Yeah.
Then it wasn't. They had golf courses and horse riding. They had a lot of things. So first thing we'd do, we'd ride a bus from Tell City to French Lick. We'd usually manage to get a few beers on the bus. We'd be pretty happy by the time we got there.
Yeah.
And I've lost track of them.
You had to ask the priest something.
Oh, yeah, okay. Then we would have a big meal.
Fridays.
It was always on Friday. I wasn't supposed to eat meat. So this one time I went to my priest and I told him about that. I said, I wonder if I could get a dispensation. And he said, yeah, I'll give you a dispensation so you could eat meat.
Oh, that's funny.
At that time, I would do whatever the priest said.
Mm-hmm.
Now I wouldn't.
So then, this is your last question, just for you. What do you hope to be remembered by?
That's a tough one too, Gramps. What do you hope to be remembered by?
Never did give that much thought. hope they'll say he was a pretty good feller.
I'm sure they will.
And he was honest.
Yes.
Honest.
Lots of things.
All right. Now it's Dorothy's turn. You did great, Obeli. Awesome. Are you ready, Dorothy?
I guess.
Okay. You'll do great.
Hi. My name is Dorothy LaGrange, and I'm 90 years old.
All right. And where did you grow up, Dorothy?
I grew up in the house I'm living in right now. I was born in the upstairs 90 years ago. And let's see, Tell City.
Yeah.
Actually, close to St. Mark's. We have a little church there about 2 miles from here. Mm-hmm. Tell City's about 7 miles from here. So
okay.
We live on a farm of about 135 acres.
Yeah.
And we moved after we got married, but when my dad died, nobody wanted the farm. So my oldest son, Dave, and my husband, Ovely, talked me into coming back home.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful every day that they did.
Yeah.
At the time, I had a new house, a full basement. I didn't want to move. And we came back to a 100-year-old house. And lots and lots of work.
Mm-hmm. So how has that experience been for you, living in the same place that you grew up in, like your whole life, essentially?
Oh, it's been a good life, but I had hoped to get away from all the work. And now I got talked into coming back, and it's been nothing but work.
Oh, my goodness. So what did the typical day in your childhood look like?
Oh, we had cows, and at 6 years old, I milked a cow, one of the older ones that was real gentle. So when I got up, I had a cow to milk, and then we came in and I helped in the house. When it was school, we caught a bus at the end of our lane, and sometimes the bus would go by to pick up neighbors, and I was coming in from the barn, and I'd have to hurry and get ready and get on the bus.
Oh, so busy day.
Yep.
So I'm sorry to hear. I unfortunately know that your mother died when you were only 2 years old, and your yes. aunt came to help in raising you and your 5 other siblings. How did you say this shaped you, your aunt helping raise you?
I always thought it was my second mother. She was a wonderful woman. She probably weighed 250 pounds. Big, big heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I always helped her with the wash. We would wash day was Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
And even as a little child, I had to hang out the wash. So we'd spend 2 or 3 hours in the wash house and hanging out wash and then gathering it in the afternoon. And I helped in the kitchen too. Seemed like all my life I had jobs.
Yeah.
I never had a lot of free time. No.
I know I just mentioned how you had 5 other siblings. Where did you fall in the sibling order?
I was the 5th child of 6.
Yeah. Okay.
I was 2 and a half when my mother died, and my younger brother was 6 months old.
Oh, wow.
So, and my oldest brother was 10, I think. There was 2 years difference in each one of us.
Yeah.
He was 10 or 11, so my dad had to have help.
Yeah.
And they talked about putting us in different homes. And that's when my aunt stepped in and said, you're not separating these kids. So she gave up her life.
Wow. Did you enjoy growing up in a large family?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my only sister meant a lot to me. And she tells me when she was 6 or 7, she had to babysit me. So I don't know if she resented that or not. We were close. Yeah. There was only two girls, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you say that you have a favorite childhood memory?
Oh, gosh. Favorite childhood memories. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I always had a cat from little kid on, and I still have a cat. We always had a dog. So spent a lot of time outdoors, and we had sheep, and I loved the little lambs.
Mm-hmm.
In the spring. Sometimes we would feed them a bottle if the mother didn't claim them or something. So I worked outdoors a lot.
And what did the typical Saturday night in high school look like for you?
Okay. If we had a way to town, once in a while we would get to go to a basketball game or to a dance or something. But most of the time when we came home on the bus, we couldn't go back and do the things that the city kids did. Mm-hmm. Because of transportation. My dad didn't have time to take us anywhere. So when we were in high school, we did have the CYO, and they would meet at the parish at St. Mark's. But mainly on Sundays, we would ride bicycles. My next door neighbor was the same age as I was. And we would sometimes ride our bicycles all the way to Tell City, which was 7 miles.
You would ride horses up to the church.
And then we had horses before I got a bicycle. Yeah. We'd go horseback riding on Sunday. Wow. And we had a skating rink about 5 miles from our house. And we would ride our bikes and skate all afternoon, then ride our bikes home. And we couldn't hardly walk. Our legs were so tired.
As we have been talking about your childhood and your upbringing, what would you say was the greatest thing that your parents taught you? And then what would you say is the greatest thing that your aunt taught you as well?
My dad didn't do many things with us, but on Saturday evenings, sometimes he would take us to the movies. And sometimes they would be on the outside of a building. I don't know if you've ever heard of that or not.
I've seen that before.
Yeah. They would have a big sheet and mm-hmm. they'd show movies. He'd take us there. And once in a while, we would take a Sunday ride in a pickup truck. That's all he had. We'd ride in the back. And when I got older, it was the horse or the bicycle that we would go places.
He tried to teach German, didn't he?
Yes, he went to be a school teacher after he got out of World War I. And he taught school 1 year and he hated it because he had farm work to do too. His grandpa had the farm here and he helped him farm. So he decided he'd rather farm than teach school. But he was determined to teach me German. This was their language when I was little.
Really?
They talked German when they didn't want us to know what they were talking about. They talked German. Tried to teach me, and I didn't want to learn. I did learn to count to 10, I think. Oh, yeah. So.
And then what would you say the greatest thing your aunt taught you was?
The greatest thing, I guess, was the love that she had for all of us, yeah. I mean, she was always smothering us with kisses, and when our oldest son was born, she packed him around all the time. When Katie's dad, he was the oldest, mm-hmm. we lived in the same house as she did here on the farm. And anytime he cried, she would hold him. She loved babies.
Well, she'd have to if she helped raise 6 kids.
Yeah. Well, and she was a nurse, Lexi, so she actually acted as a midwife a lot too, right,
Grandma? Oh, yeah. She delivered babies. Wow. If the doctor wouldn't get there in time, there was a lady who was in labor and the doctor wasn't coming. The lady's husband came and got Aunt Lizzie and she delivered their baby. And when the doctor arrived, he said, "I'm not paying you. You didn't deliver this baby. This lady did." So, but she delivered a lot of babies. Yeah. Went with me to the hospital when I went with my first, which was Dave. And she stayed there the whole time that I was in labor. Probably the first one that caught him and held him. So, yeah.
She sounds like an awesome lady.
She was.
So I know that your husband, Ovaly, already shared the story about how you two met. But do you remember the first time you met your husband?
Yes.
Do you want to tell it from your point of view?
Well, we went up there to St. Croix to help them strip cane. Mm-hmm. And nobody showed up from St. Croix. St. Mark stripped the whole patch of cane.
Oh, my goodness.
But when we got back to the hall, they had food and music, and we danced, and he was just out of service. So that's the first time I met him. He just got home from the Navy. I don't know. I don't remember being real impressed because I had other guys that was a little bit interested too. So
yeah. Tell us the story about the pie.
Oh, yeah. We used to have pie suppers.
Okay.
UIO different. That would be entertainment after a dance or something. Mm-hmm. They called them box suppers. Some people would make a box with a lunch, but we would bring a pie, and whoever bid the highest on your pie, they'd say, this pie, you know, Dorothy brought. Well, he would bid on it, but he didn't have much money, so he'd have to quit. And whoever got the pie, he'd come and help eat the pie. He was a character.
Oh my gosh. So then obviously you said you had a lot of other options. What ended up making him be the one that you loved and wanted to be with?
I don't know. He was just interesting to be around and pretty nice looking boy. So we went double dating with his cousin, and we'd have a lot of fun going places to the movies and everything. So.
Mm-hmm. How did he propose to you? How did he ask you to marry him?
Just like he told you, he had just got a job, and I had had a job since March, I think, or April. But when he got a job at GE, he said, well, we both got an income, let's get married. Mm-hmm. And I had $35 in the bank, and he had zero. Anyway, we got married on nothing.
And what was your wedding like?
We had a nice wedding. I mean, I went to Evansville with my aunt, and she went with me to get my wedding dress. And mm-hmm. It was a beautiful day, November, but it was a nice warm day. And it
was a morning wedding, I remember
thinking. It was a morning wedding, yeah. And they came back to the farmhouse for a lunch.
Okay.
We had a dance at St. Croix. And I remember his grandmother was in bed. She was old. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to meet me and see me in my gown. So we stopped at her house and I met his grandmother. Oh. She was bedridden. So I do remember that. And
who played at your reception? Didn't you have music?
Oh, yeah. The music was his uncle and his cousin and his brother. Yeah.
And did he dance there for that?
Yes, he did. Yeah. I think danced everyone.
Yeah. And I know your husband said you'll be married 73 years this November, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I know he kind of answered it too, but I'm curious what you think the key to that successful long marriage is.
Probably a lot of love and a lot of patience. I have a lot of patience. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I know that you worked at GE when you first got married, but did you continue to work there long after that, or did you just become a stay-at-home mom once you had kids?
I become a stay-at-home mom after I had my second child. Dave was 3 years old when I had Mary. She was the next. Mm-hmm. And they called me and wanted me to come back to work. And I thought I would go back, and I tried to talk to my aunt and see if she would babysit. And she said, no, you belong at home. So I worked about a month and quit. After that, I was a housewife.
Yeah.
And I raised a lot of chickens. I had 3,000 chickens.
Oh my gosh.
They were laying hens.
Wow.
And at the time, the feed mill would pay you for taking these flocks of chickens, and they'd pay you by the dozen, mm-hmm. however they laid. And I had, the kids were, from about 4 years old on up, and Dave and Mary, they were wanting to get into the chicken business. We were going to pay them a little bit. So my husband worked at GE, so me and the kids run the chicken business. And it was a business.
Yeah, wow.
That was years and years we had those. I had enough work with 8 kids, but then I had 3,000 chickens besides.
That is crazy. Wow. Much respect to you.
I still don't like eggs.
Okay, so just like your husband, I'm going to ask you some individual ones. And after you answer these, then you and your husband will talk about your children together. So as you look back on your life, who are the people who have influenced you or impacted you the most?
Don't really. Mostly my aunt. My dad became an alcoholic after he lost his wife. And so mostly it was my aunt that kind of guided us through. And we had a grandmother that she made me clothes and things like that. And I had a neighbor that I thought a lot of, a lady that would help me with the chickens. So I'm trying to think. My older sister was a big help, too. I mean, she lived in Tell City, which was 7 miles from here. We visited back and forth quite a bit. She had 6 children, so... And she was a nurse, so if I needed advice for anything, I'd call her.
And would you say that you have a favorite memory or time period of your life?
Favorite memory?
Or time period. Do you have a time period?
The time period. Probably my high school days. Mm-hmm. We did something every Sunday. Usually went to the skating rink. And then we went to dances, but I got married at 18, so I didn't have a whole lot of runaround time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most of my life was work.
Do you regret anything from your life?
I don't know.
Except having chickens? Oh, I regret, having 3,000 yeah. chickens?
I didn't mind the chickens so bad, except they took up an awful lot of my time.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Not many regrets. No. I always tried to count my blessings.
What do you believe is the most important thing in life?
The most important?
Mm-hmm.
One of them is my religion. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'd do without my faith. So, and I try to show love toward everybody.
And considering that you believe faith is the most important thing in your life, how do you think it has impacted the way you have lived these past 90 years?
That's what held me together.
And then what do you hope to be remembered by?
I don't really know. I guess that I tried to be kind to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to show love for everybody. Mm-hmm. I sometimes think having 8 children, I didn't have time to love each one of them like they should have been, but I did the best I could.
Oh, I'm sure you did great.
Yeah.
Now if we can get Ovaly back, and we're going to talk about your kids.
He's okay. Shoveling peeps in his mouth. I can't wait to get him back over here.
Oh, my.
He's saying a Bush Light, Lexi. Oh,
sounds like a meal.
He can, after 1 or 2 of them, he probably could have talked a lot faster.
Or slower. I don't know.
So you two have 8 children. Could you go through their names in their order?
Dave, Mary, Debbie, Sheila, Joan, John, Tim, and Stan.
And how old were you when you had your first kid? And then how old were you both when you had your last of those 8 kids?
The first one, I was 19, a year after we were married. And then 3 years later, we had Mary. 3 years later, we had Debbie. And then 11 and a half months later, had Sheila. And 2 years later, Joan. And a year later, John. 2 years later, Tim. And 2.5 years later, Stan. So I had a house full of little stair steps.
Yeah, wow. Wow. So you had 8 kids very close in age.
Yeah.
Busy time. So do you have any particularly funny stories from when your kids were little that stand out to you that you would want to tell?
Oh, there's a lot of them. But
I'm sure.
I do remember Tim was our second last one, and he's kind of the clown of the family. We had a station wagon, and I would load them all up and go to the grocery because he worked either nights or sometimes at night shift. You know, I'd have them all here by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But this one time we went to the grocery and went to IGA, and I've done my shopping there, and they didn't have bananas. So I got back in the car with the groceries, and I told the kids, I said, I'm going to Hinton's grocery because I know they've got bananas. So I looked around and I thought they were all in there, but they weren't. So we got to Hinton's grocery and I was checking out my bananas and one of the kids run in and said, "You've left Tim at IGA." And he was about 3 years old.
Oh my goodness.
So I almost had a heart attack.
Sure.
The store was only like four blocks away. So we hurried over there and he was sitting out in the front talking to an old man. And he said, "I knew you'd be back, Mom." But I probably aged 10 years there.
Oh, my goodness.
Tell him the story about John pumping his stomach.
Oh,
the air.
Well, yes. John ate baby aspirin when he was about 2 and a half, I guess, mm-hmm. or 3. We slept upstairs with all of them, and I had the baby aspirin up on a shelf, I thought, high enough. But we were getting ready to eat, and he didn't come downstairs. So I come up there, and he was sitting on the floor eating aspirin. He'd gotten the baby aspirin. I didn't know how many or how much. And Ovaly had given him a little drink of beer before, a little bit before.
Oh.
So we took him to the ER, and the doctor said, "Well, we have to pump his stomach." And he pumped his stomach, and he said, "Well, these aspirins smell like beer." So I had to tell him that. Now we probably would have been taken in for child neglect.
Yeah.
But anyway, he had no ill effects.
Oh, my goodness. That's been...
We had things like that happen all the time.
Oh, I'm sure. 8 kids.
Yeah.
Anything that you can think of, Ovaly?
About the kids, anything you can think of.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right after we moved here, we lived here a little while, right after we were married. Then we moved to town, and then we built a new house. When her dad died, then we...
They were going to put the house up for sale and the farm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Me and the oldest boy, we wanted to come back to the farm, so we bought it. Now I forgot where I was.
A funny story, like a story about any of the kids. Was it dad wanting this place or the newspaper? Is that what you were going to get in at?
Oh, yeah.
So I was going to tell about the Sheila eating the grapes.
Oh, well.
Green grapes.
Oh, yeah. We weren't back here. Well, it was the same year we moved back here.
Mm-hmm.
We had a grape arbor in the back, and my 3-year-old, they were out playing, and she picked green grapes and gave them to the 2-year-old, and she ate a bunch of them and got deathly sick. Had to go have her stomach pumped out. But anyway, when we moved back here, we built the chicken house, and we got the chickens, and we were in debt, and Ovaly decided maybe we didn't need this farm and all that debt, and he put the house up for sale.
What?
Yeah, he said he just didn't want to handle that debt. So I didn't have a whole lot of say-so back then. So it was in the paper, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it ran in the paper one time, and a man came. He was real interested in buying it.
Oh, my gosh.
And Ovaly said, "I got to reading about it," and he said, "I believe this is where we'll stay." So he changed his mind. Sounds like the place I'd like to live. It was like a roller coaster for me.
That is funny. So what lesson would you say that you stressed the most to your kids when they were growing up?
Oh, I always stressed not to pick on somebody that looked different or acted different. And they would tell me different times that somebody got picked on at school and they would hold up for them. And I was really proud of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they never looked down on anybody. And that's what we tried to stress. So I think to this day, they still are that way.
Oh,
yeah.
You did good then.
I feel like we're blessed. Yes.
And what would you say is the most rewarding part about being a parent?
Oh, gosh.
What?
I couldn't count them.
Most rewarding part about being a parent.
Being a parent. All the things that they've accomplished, you really, really
proud of
that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we have so many grandchildren and great-grandchildren that everyone's a blessing.
Yeah.
Don't know how many.
Yeah, well, we're going to get to your grandkids in just a little bit, but do you have any parenting advice for parents nowadays?
Not to give up so easy. I mean, just ride it out and it'll get better.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any, Ovaly?
Well, I've got several that haven't wrote it out.
We always had their back. I mean,
And this is kind of an interesting question, but each of you are going to answer this individually, but what would the Ovaly and Dorothy of today tell themselves as a young husband and father or wife and mother? So if you could go back and tell your young self something, what would it be?
Do you want to answer that? You want us both to answer that?
Yeah.
I think I would have waited two or three years before we got married, because we had nothing when we got married. No money. We could have waited two or three years and had it a little easier, maybe, but no regrets.
Yeah. And what about you, Ovaly?
Help your wife.
Amen.
So then, how many grandkids do you two have?
Grandkids, we have 19.
Wow. And then how many great-grandkids do you know?
Have 45 now. Good. The last was born 2 weeks ago. That made number 45.
Congratulations. And what are your two favorite part about being grandparents?
Oh, just enjoying the accomplishments that the grandparents have had. I mean, the grandkids, yeah. They've accomplished a lot of things, and we're proud of all of them.
Yeah. And how have you two spent your retirement years now?
Our retirement years, mainly here on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
We took a few trips. We went to Florida twice.
Nice.
I had a brother living down there. We took, when the kids were, I guess they were all at home except Dave. Did you go that trip, Dave?
No.
Yeah, he was working, but we loaded all of them. My brother lived in Brooklyn.
Oh, wow.
Long Island. And he always begged us to come. He'd come once a year to visit us, and he said, you need to come and visit me.
Mm-hmm.
So we loaded them all in a station wagon, and we took off. 7 of them. Looked like a birdhouse, the kids hanging out every window. And we left for New York, and the first time we got lost was in Cincinnati. No, Louisville.
Oh, no.
I'm in Cincinnati. But we kept going. Oh, we spent a week up there. They got to go to the beach and deep sea fishing and all that. They loved it. But then we had to get home. So he had to drive coming home. We got into a fog, and then we had a semi right behind us. Kept honking and honking and honking. I guess we finally pulled off, didn't we? But it was a bad experience. We made it home safe, but I would never do that again.
Yeah. Sounds like a nightmare. So what have you both learned as you have grown and built this life that you have together?
What have we learned?
Yep.
I've learned to not sweat the little stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just and count my blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, how about you?
I haven't learned anything.
And then this is the final question. What advice do you two have for couples trying to create a life together in today's day and age?
I don't know how I could advise them. They have it much, much harder than we did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with all the trips they make every day with sports and all these extracurricular activities, I had none of that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to get in the car every day and take somebody somewhere. I know they have to keep up.
Yeah.
And most of them have to work, and that's hard to raise a family and work too.
Yeah.
So I don't know what advice I'd give them. Sometimes I think they give up too easy. I don't know. But I haven't walked in their shoes.
All right. Well,
I think they did awesome. They're probably ready.
So,
yay!
Nice meeting you.
Thank you so much, Maxine.
Oh, of course. Hope you have fun there while you're there, and happy early birthday, Ovaly.
Thank you.
Tell everybody I said hi.
I will. I'll see you. Thank you. Okay. For us. Bye.
See you. Bye-bye.
Count your blessings, be patient, and don't sweat the small stuff. These are the principles by which Ovaly and Dorothy have lived their lives together on the farm, raising their 8 children. Ovaly, with his honest sense of humor and adventurous soul, and Dorothy, with her humble and hard-working persona, really have created a life worth admiring, always putting their family and faith above it all.
Can't you tell how excited he is?
Yeah, I can tell he's so excited.
But Grandma's gonna find a chair here.
Yeah. If you want to sit here, I can move. Want over there, or I asked him. I said, do you want me to be here, or do you want me to leave the room? And so I think I'm gonna be here. So yeah. Technical difficulties, or if you can't hear something, just tell me and I'll. Yeah.